So last week we started a month-long sermon series. We're looking at our new mission statement, which is, that's a little weak, love, serve, follow. Let's just try that again. Love, serve, follow. That's right. So last week was sort of an overview and how we came at that and what we hope it will do for us. And this week we're going to spend some time talking about love, that little topic. And next week, Carissa will preach on serving. And then Reverend Enger is going to preach the last Sunday this month on following. What's it mean to walk in the way of Jesus and discipleship? And so today we turn to a text, one of my favorite texts on love in the New Testament. It's from Ephesians. It's from a prayer. Paul is praying for the community there, for individuals and for the whole community, that they would begin to get a glimpse of the how broad and wide and deep and high is God's love, and that they would be rooted and grounded in love themselves. Rooted and grounded in love. I'm going to talk just, love is such a big topic. I'm just going to talk about five kinds of love today and quickly on each of them. A grounding love, a just love, binding love, random love, and unconditional love. So that's where we're going to go. And there'll be a quiz at the end, okay? So I'm going to talk about this grounding love. What does that look like? What does it look like to be rooted and grounded in love? Now, it was the Beatles who sang, "All You Need Is Love," right? And as a matter of fact, our band at the 9:30 service sort of sent us forth with that blessing today. We were singing a little Beatles as we made our way out to the garden for our reception. And they were onto something, right? They know that at the core of life is this thing we call love. And Christians have been saying that in many different ways throughout our whole history as well. Last Sunday, we talked about how Jesus had a way of binding the love of God and the love of neighbor and never spoke about one without referring to the other. He says, it's not enough that you say you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength unless you connect that with what? With your love of neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's where we spent time last week. But you don't have to go far in the scripture to find other references. This is that from a longer passage in 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. It goes on to say, if you don't love, it's hard to say you really know God, right? If you don't love, it's hard to say you really know God, because God is love. And in 1 Corinthians, a lesser known passage on love, we all know 1 Corinthians 13, right? But in 1 Corinthians 16, let all that you do, everything you do, let it be done with love. And this passage, this great text, Paul's prayer that the community and that the individual Christians might have this inner strength of the Spirit, that they might know and begin to comprehend the height and the depth and the fullness of God's love. And you can always almost miss it because it's as you are being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend the love of Christ that surpasses everything else. This is the starting point and this is the ending point of our lives in Christ. It's not that we ever fully arrive here. It's that we are living rooted and grounded in love every day. We grow into that. Now, this is not some kind of Hallmark sentimental kind of love. In our tradition, this is a love that is always linked, I mentioned to love of neighbor, but also justice for our neighbors. Standing up and advocating and standing up for what is right and what is good in the world. I teach, some of you know, I teach at Wesley Seminary and I teach a class for students who are working in churches and working in agencies. And so I'm there twice a month. And as I was driving for my last class of the semester a week and a half ago, I was listening to the radio because what they were talking about was an incident that had taken place on the campus because the Wesley Seminary is part of the American University campus. And some of you heard about this horrible thing that had happened. There, early in the morning, someone or some folks came onto campus and hung in nooses bananas. This terrible symbol of our vicious past. A vicious sign of hatred. The first African-American woman was becoming the student government president. And on some of these bananas were listed her sorority. This was an act of violence and hatred against her. And one of the hopeful things that happened was the student body stood up and said, not on our campus. They said, we are not that kind of community. And there were so many protests in the name of love and inclusiveness that it was hopeful. But it was hateful and hurtful too. And lest you think that's just happening over in Washington, D.C. or off on a college campus, I was reading in my Capital Gazette the other day, and some of you probably saw this story too, about a similar incident that took place at Crofton Middle School, where early in the morning they just arrested two 19-year-olds. They caught them on surveillance cameras who were hanging nooses on the campus of this middle school, a sign of hatred for these young, impressionable minds. And the school said no, and the community said no, and there have been vigils, and there have been protests, and the church ought to be the first place that says no when we encounter injustice in the world, when we encounter that kind of bigotry and hatred. When we talk about being rooted and grounded in love, it's a tough love. It's a love that takes a stand. It's a love that's not afraid to speak out. It's also a binding love. It's a love, we sing that great hymn, right? Your love, we just sang that Your Love, O God, that's a great hymn. But we also sing about blessed be the tie that binds, right? This, our hearts in Christian love, and that we be somehow a community, even in spite of our difference, our different political ideologies, our different income levels, our different backgrounds, whatever, that when we come together in Christ, we be a people that are bound by love. Now, I said there was a more famous passage from 1 Corinthians a minute ago. I just sort of alluded to it. It's 1 Corinthians 13. And when do we think of that scripture passage being read? At weddings, right? And it's a beautiful passage. It's a great fitting passage. How many of you had that passage read at your wedding? A few of you, yeah. Not surprising. I get often asked to do that. And it is a great passage for weddings, for a husband and wife to take on these things. But in its context, when it was written to an unruly church where this group didn't get along with this group. And Paul was having trouble because they were breaking up into factions. And they were saying, this gift is more important than this gift. And at the summation of it, after he sort of scolded them for a while, he comes to chapter 13 and he says, let me show you a more excellent way, the way of love. And it's in that context, this binding nature of love that can hold people together across difference. It's this love that holds us together in Christ. It's a love that's patient and kind, does not envy, it doesn't boast, it's not irritable. It always protects, trusts, hopes, preserves. Love never fails. It's a kind of binding love. Or in Colossians, the third chapter, I often read this text at a wedding. It says, put on love, the all-purpose garment. It's the thing that will hold you together. Put on love. It will make you more forgiving. It will make you more patient. It will be the thing that binds you together. Now, the Beatles were singing back in the 60s, All You Need Is Love, and Christians started singing in the 70s this song. You might recognize this. It's in The Faith We Sing Now. We'll walk with each other, we'll walk hand in hand, and they'll know we are Christians. How? Not by the size of our churches, not by how nice we are, but how loving we are. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Tertullian, the Roman historian, one of the first people to reference the early Christian movement, described the early Christians this way. See how they love one another. See how they love one another. Wouldn't it be great to be known along Benfold Boulevard where there are all these churches, right? We are in Church Row here. Wouldn't it be nice to know that people drive by and they point to this community, even if they're not part of our community, wouldn't it be neat if they said, wow, look at how they love each other. If that was our reputation in the community. And look at how that love spills out into the community. They'll know us by our love, a binding love. A binding love that binds us to each other, but it spills over easily, and it binds us to all of our neighbors. And then I want to talk to you about a random love. I don't know if that's the right word, but here's the thing. God doesn't really give us much choice about who we're called to love. And you don't even know now on a Sunday who you will be called to love this week in the course of your everyday events. God may put some really irritable person in your path that will test you in every way. And maybe that irritability is coming from a place of hurt or pain, and what they really need is an act of love. And maybe you're the one that's put on the path to give it. I don't know. I learned the story this week of a young woman named Hannah Breckner. Now, Hannah Breckner, in October of 2010, began writing love letters, anonymous love letters. These were letters of encouragement and affirmation and love, and she started leaving them around coffee houses and libraries and public places in New York City, just so someone would know that there was someone out there that loved them. And then she invited others to join her as well, to join this campaign. There's a whole organization that's called The World Needs More Love Letters, is the name of the group. And you can go onto their website, you can volunteer to write handwritten notes. And now you can also nominate people that might need to receive those notes. Somebody going through an illness, somebody's going through a difficult loss in their life, somebody who's going through a challenge, and they just might need some kind of encouragement. And so you can participate in this act of love. It's sort of random act of kindness out there in the world. Write more love letters. Some of you get to do that in a very practical way through our church. How many of you participate in our Operation Welcome Home letter writing? You can go into the fellowship hall. I know a few of you do that. We do that. And you can pick up a stack of cards, and then you can sign a letter. You can write a letter to somebody, a returning serviceman or woman who's coming back to the country after serving a tour of duty. And what it really is a love letter, isn't it? It's a letter of affirmation and support and encouragement. And it just says, we're thankful for your service. We're glad you're home. But beyond those formal letters, you have tons of opportunities through this church and in your everyday life to send love letters out into the world, random love letters to somebody who needs to hear that word today or this week. One of the love letters I got to send out this week for Holly, I covered myself with a gift last week already for Mother's Day. We were shopping in Annapolis at the First Sunday Arts Fair, and she found a nice necklace that she liked for her mom, so I knew she liked it, and I bought a similar one for her on the other side of the stall without her even knowing it. But she knows it now. I mean, no, she knew it before. No. I gave it to her when we were wrapping her mom's gift. And then later this week, I had the opportunity. You and I get these kinds of things all the time, all kinds of opportunities to help somebody in the world. And this one struck my heart. Because we have two daughters, Christine, who's now 27, and Sarah, who's about going to turn 24, and they were blessed with the opportunity to go to some of the best schools in the world, right in Montgomery County. And so we were grateful for that. Our kids here in Severna Park go to one of the best schools in the world, really. And I was thinking this was an opportunity for a very small amount of money to offer to support a girl, a refugee, probably in a refugee camp, to get education. And so we will never know who these girls are, but in the names of Christine and Sarah, for Mother's Day, Holly is helping to support two girls. And now you will have your chances to do that too, not just through this. And the International Rescue Committee, I highly recommend them. They do good work, and they're especially doing work in Jordan and the Syrian refugees who are in Greece right now and all through the Middle East, and they do work here in the States as well. But what is the way that you're going to send a letter of love to someone this week? And you might even never have the chance for them to say thank you to, and that's all right. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is unconditional love, because we are just simply loved because we are children of God. That's what we say at baptism, right? We say baptism is a bond of love. We don't even pretend that the child has to offer anything to God. The child is just beloved because they are God's child, and we get to say that out loud in that ritual. Jodi Picoult, the author, says, love is not a because, it is a no matter what. Isn't that a great phrase? Love's not a because, it's a no matter what. And Holly and I were privileged to see this the other night. Remember Friday night, that nasty, wet, rainy Friday night? We had good friends of ours whose daughter was being married on the football field, outside, at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., Katie, the bride, was a girl that I had helped coach in soccer from the time she was like middle school all the way up through high school. And good friends with her mom and dad. And she though she's hearing, had gone to Gallaudet to learn about being an interpreter and working in the deaf community. And so she got her undergraduate degree. She stayed on. She got her graduate degree there as well. She played soccer there. She did swimming. She got really involved there, very enmeshed. And she met and fell in love with a guy, Shelby, who was there and who could not hear. It was a sacred moment because this community that we were part of the other night, we just sort of part of a community that was probably half hearing and half not hearing. And those who were here, and many people were somewhere in between with a lot of assistance. Maybe they could hear something. And so the music, as you might expect, was turned up really loud at this reception. You could feel the bass. And that was intentional. So you could feel the music and feel the pulse of the music. And it was sacred. We got to see the first dance. But here are Katie and Shelby at the time of the toasts and the blessings. And one of the most sacred moments was when Shelby's dad stood up and talked about his life and the hard road that he had traveled. When Shelby was born, the doctors told him there was a 50% chance that he would make it through that first night. He was born with a large hole in his heart. At that time, they knew a lot less about that than they do now. And they weren't sure what was going to happen. He had all kinds of health issues. Not only the fact that he was not born with any ears, he since had surgeries to allow himself some sort of hearing, but he also had compromises in his vision and on his face in other ways, many, many challenges. And one of the things the dad said was about how his mother's love had carried him through it all. And he wanted to toast not only Shelby, but his mom that night for all the ways she had advocated for him, for all the ways that she had been there with him, for all the days that it was hard to believe that there was this kind of future for him, where he not only would be graduating and having a master's degree and coaching football and now married and have this future that they probably didn't know would ever be possible. And it was this unconditional mother's love that helped to make that possible. C.S. Lewis says, the Christian does not think God will love us because we're good, but that God will make us good because God loves us. It's not because we're good that God loves us. God just loves us. And that's the kind of love that we are rooted and grounded and growing in every day. So my prayer for you and my prayer for our church as we live into this new mission statement, is that someone will say about your life and about our life together, wow, see how they love each other and see how that love spills out into the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.